God's prophets in the Old Testament are all faithful messengers of truth. Their main job is to deliver God's message, usually of warning and of judgment, to God's people. Sometimes words of great comfort, which we are so glad about, and words of salvation. But primarily they're sent to straighten God's people out. And so if you look at Isaiah through Malachi, that's a lot of the message that God's going to give his people. You know, God's not in a bad mood when he passes on that word. He's not just saying, well, I've given you a lot of blessings. Now I got to tell you really the way it is. But he's consistently honest, forthright, and truthful. You won't get anybody more straightforward than the Lord in talking to us through the prophets. So about 15 or 16 prophets passing on the message of confrontation and salvation to us, his people. And background for Isaiah will come next week. But God's major message through the prophet Isaiah is that Christ will judge all nations. Christ will judge all nations, and Christ will judge his people as a part of those nations. Christ will judge individuals and all nations that are either putting their trust in him or rebelling against him. So to apply that today, right off the bat, we would have to say this, that's true, that Jesus is Lord of America, Jesus is Lord of Iran, Jesus is Lord of Afghanistan, Jesus is Lord of North Korea, South Korea, you name it. He is Lord of all nations, okay, whether those nations acknowledge it or not. He is the King of Kings presently. Okay, he's not a king waiting for something to happen. He's the king ruling over all presently. And God's judgment, primarily to his people, is fearful and sobering, something we want to face on a regular basis. To God's own people, he says, sinful nation, loaded with guilt, they have forsaken the Lord and have turned their backs on him. That's spoken to God's people. Not spoken in this case here to secular America or to atheists or to agnostic folks. Spoken to God's people from God as a message of warning, judgment, and tough love. And as we hear those words, again, God confronts to bring about repentance and gives us the truth so that we might be set free, as part of our brother's testimony there. Those who Jesus sets free are free indeed. So God, as we look at that judgment, I am afraid of that judgment. I think if we would be honest before God, we would say, yes, that gets our attention. God tells his followers, God tells Christians, when you pray, I will hide my eyes or I will hide my face from you. I don't know if you've ever had that experience. You know, you're praying, you're talking to God about something, and it seems like beyond my own emotional difficulties, I don't know if the Lord's listening. There seems to be a block between me and God. If that occurs, probably that's true. That when we pray, God doesn't automatically say, oh, this is great, I want to talk to you about the concern you have. Often he says, wait, I want to talk to you about your soul. I want to talk to you about the health of your trust in me and your level of obedience. God answers the prayer of those who put their trust in him. And Psalm 66 says, when I harbor sin in my heart, the Lord will not answer. So that warning's for believers, people who pray all the time. God says, praying is good, but it has to be heart living to go along with praying, or praying is a waste of time. Okay, so that's a message of warning. We take it to our own hearts. God says, stop trusting in yourself. Stop trusting in man. Goes along with Joe's sermon, outstanding, last week, when he said, have a God-centered view of life, not a man-centered or a self-centered. If I put a check on my own self, if I usually end the day and think, how much during the day did I think of myself? And how much did I have some awareness of the Lord? Well, that gives whatever answer I give gives me the truth about who's on the throne of my soul. You know, if I think about me all the time, I guess I'm I guess I'm still in charge of my life. That's pretty ridiculous. Or if I think about aware of God, oh, he's leading. I can trust him. And so a good test. Stop trusting in yourself. Look to the Lord, Isaiah says. God says in Isaiah 29, you worship God, which is good. You worship a lot, but your hearts are far from him. Jesus quoted that twice in the New Testament. It's possible to be very faithful in worship, but have our hearts connected somewhere else with ultimate loyalty. Now, for Christians, the Lord confronts us with our moral problems. He says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. We have to face that for our own soul also. We know that's what the atheist does. We know that's what the agnostic does. But we want to be hearing the Lord when he says, woe to you if you call good evil and evil good. That's not from the Lord. We are thankful for absolute truth that God gives us, for example. That's something Christians say that's what God reveals, absolute truth for all time. And often we consider absolute truth when we talk about issues like marriage, you know, man and woman. We think about salvation. Christ alone gives salvation. The Bible is God's word. That's an absolute truth. Genesis to Revelation, without error, infallible. Those are great. But we also want to do the absolute truth, hard commitment to what Jesus said in terms of commandments. When he was asked, what are the two greatest commandments? Another way of saying it would be, what are the two greatest absolute truths, Lord, that you want us to hold on to and live up? And of course he said, love God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so those things we want to say, we hold to them with a stubborn gladness, as much as we would some of these other ones that often we're quick to give a counter reply to the culture. That's good, but we want to put in primacy that which Jesus has put prime, to love God, to love neighbor. Great commission, go and make disciples of all nations. And Jesus himself, when he was summarizing the prophets, he could have said, you know, treat others like you want to be treated. This summarizes Isaiah. He could have said that. But he actually went further. He said, treat others as you want to be treated. This summarizes the law and the prophets. Okay, all those things. And again, divides our hearts in terms of where we're at with God. It does that good surgery and says, this is the healthy part from God, this is the sinful part from our own souls. We want to have a 100% glad surrender to the truth of God in all its glory and fullness. And so, woe to those who call good evil and evil good. Keep that good from God. Right at the top. God continues to challenge his people with fearful judgment. He says, stop dumping on the poor. Stop making laws that are unjust toward them. He says, don't ignore the widow. Don't ignore the fatherless. Those are absolute standards of Jesus' righteousness among us. If somebody comes your way, Christian brother, and they say, I can't pay my rent this month, what's your response as a believer? Matthew 25, we can look at it and say, you know, as we give help in some manner, prayer or resource to a brother in need, what do? We help pay the rent for who? For Jesus. Okay, when you hear of a Christian brother who is in need, they couldn't pay the rent. You go to heaven and Jesus says, well, thank you. At one time I didn't have a place to lay my head. You helped pay the rent. You said, when did I do that? When you did it for the least, you did it to me. So that, again, that absolute standard that God gives, it's very high. And it's a reflection of his holy nature. And it certainly motivates us to honor him and give repentance. In regards to relationships with one another, God calls his people to himself and to watch out for each other. Stand with your Christian brother and sister. as Christ has stood for you. That's again, an absolute standard. We have a Ruth covenant with one another. Remember the covenant Ruth made. She turned to a believer and said, your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. And nothing will separate me from you other than death itself. And that's a healthy picture of Christian fellowship. You know, watching out for one another. Not Ruth didn't say, Naomi, I'm going to be with you as long as, you know, it suits me. No, your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. And that calling of God's people to the Lord and to one another. And then we know, for example, as we stand before those standards God put forth in Isaiah, as He puts them before us, we would say this: when judgment comes, it is fair and it is final. You know, we don't have any excuse before God. We're without excuse. So we need salvation before the Lord. If we haven't received Christ, as Jim was saying, to say, oh, Jesus, I turn to you and I receive you. Because otherwise we stand guilty before God. And we would be rightfully condemned. God's judgment invites us to look to Him to salvation. Isaiah 45 says, turn to me, all the ends of the earth, and be saved. That's the verse Charles Spurgeon heard. He wandered into a church, was kind of there, taking up space, you know, wondering what he was doing there. At the end of the service, the preacher says, let me quote Isaiah, turn to me, all the ends of the earth, and be saved, for I am God and there is no other. And Spurgeon was like, oh my, that's the truth. I need the Lord. My heart needs to be at peace with Him. And God gave him salvation. He repented. And so the warning God gives, it's for the lost to be right with God. It's for the believer to turn to God. And God says this, pretty good tie-in verse between the law and the gospel. 2 Corinthians 3, it's in your bulletin. If the ministry that brings condemnation is glorious. So when Isaiah talks about all these standards, it's a sobering, glorious thing. When God gives us those Ten Commandments, it is glorious. If the ministry that brings condemnation is glorious, how much more the ministry that brings righteousness? So our response to that is simply this, as we look through these love letters. Oh, God's law and His ways are very good. But Jesus, who brings righteousness, is very, very good. Much more glorious is Jesus than even the confrontation that God gives to us clearly in His prophets and in His law. So the Lord's faithful, and He calls us to Himself, shows us our real condition. In a fantastic way, when we see the need of our soul, God doesn't move away from us. He moves towards us. How great is the Lord? You know, when you see sin in life and difficulty, if you find yourself moving toward that with hope and good news, you know that's a reflection of Jesus. Okay. That's a high calling and a scary calling, but the Lord takes that on as His mission. Came to seek and save that which is not found. As He says even in Isaiah early chapters, even if our sins are as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. Someday that'll take an international application when there won't be nation against nation anymore. That's a Bible fact after Jesus comes back. No nation against nation anymore. America and Iran will be best friends, both following Jesus. What do you think of that? That's like, well, nobody's predicting that, you know, on TV, that's for sure. Bible says, you can count on it. The Lord's going to bring it to pass. North and South Korea, best friends, following Jesus. He brings it about at His return. And we know, even though good news is there, tragically, some will reject Christ and be thrown into hell. And yet God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. You know, That's not His mission. But He will do it because He's right and fair and just. I really like it in the Bible that the praises of heaven are louder and more glorious than the rebellion of hell. Rebellion of hell is real. But God's glory is bigger. A big part of the victorious salvation He brings is He reveals Himself in creation. I don't want us to miss this. As Isaiah heard God described as holy, 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 is the Lord God Almighty, after the words of judgment came, Isaiah was under conviction, of course, and he heard the angel say, the whole earth is full of God's glory. That's something. You know, if you and I were to write that, we would say, holy, 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 the whole earth is full of evil. But that's not what the angel said. The whole earth is full of God's glory. If we look in a mirror without Christ, rightfully we say, woe is me. You know, I am undone. I see my soul evil and in need of salvation. If we look in the mirror with Christ, we say, oh, God has reached out to me. God has made me in His image and sent His Son to die for me. And so the difference of seeing the world from the good news of Christ bringing victory and salvation to us. And the Lord throughout Isaiah reveals Himself in great ways. We were singing some of it. Cornerstone, that's from Isaiah. Emmanuel, that's from Isaiah. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. Handel's Messiah, most of it's from the book of Isaiah, some revelation. And don't you need an everlasting Father raising you up as His child? It should give us a lot of comfort to say, hey, God, He's taking me on as a child of His. And that closeness of having a good Father in heaven. And then he reveals Himself through Isaiah as the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king. And apparently when the founders of our country were thinking about the forms of government, they saw that verse and they said, well, if the Lord is our judge, we need a judicial branch. And if the Lord is our lawgiver, we need a legislative branch. And if the Lord is our king, we need an executive branch. And they act like the king a little too much. But the Lord over those, the Lord over our souls, the message given. And then the forgiveness of sins. Isaiah heard the angel say, your guilt is taken away by what the Messiah would do. Hurting soul, the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, the pardon receives. Not just from lost to saved, but a Christian burdened down. You know, I can't get away from some of the sins that easily beset me. You know, would you ever pray that before God? Jesus would come with a pardon. Something about that pardon motivates toward obedience and gladness and repentance and new life. God will do that for you. In closing, a quote from an old English preacher. He said, part of Isaiah's good news is this. Somebody has come on your behalf. Somebody has come. And he has obeyed God across the board. In every area we fail to obey, he has obeyed God across the board. And he has offered his obedience to you as a gift. And he has come to take away any sins between us and the Lord. And this one is called the Messiah. The one who would bring peace to his people forever. And so the Lord is available for any troubled soul this morning. And I ask you, first, in the strongest possible terms, if you're not you know in your soul if you're a believer or not. I think God's Spirit bears witness to yours. So you just come to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to belong to you. Lord, save me. The prayer of the heart, God hears. And especially if you're a dear believer, dear child of God. You know, I remember Isaiah came to God's people. And he said, hey, the Lord, he wants you back. He wants you back. So turn to him. and find rest and the peace he so gladly came to bring. Could we close in prayer, please?